the a cappella group, Sweet Honey in the Rock, under the direction of Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan, with this classic, Give Your Hands to Struggle. It's the title track of their 1992 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead, and I'm glad we're back together again. Hope you got rested up over the weekend, and you did a little bit of extra thinking. I said extra thinking. Extra. You need extra thinking at this time to put in our own minds the order that we ought to be functioning in. What comes first and what comes next? Well, a couple of issues we'll be talking about today, but from your perspective. I like the idea of you basically telling or teaching about what is happening, because it's from a personal perspective. And one assumes that there will be many personal perspectives. So you're not just getting my perspective on something or my guest's perspectives on something, but you're getting a panoramic view. And that encourages discussion and exploration. And that's what we ought to be doing. All right. The nation, as you know, is in turmoil, as is much of the world today. For the vast majority, there will be no quick or easy way out of the crises being faced. No ready solutions. No easy victories. As you assess the situation here in the United States, what concerns you most about what we are dealing with as a nation in this time? That's the crux of the question. As you assess the situation here in the United States, what concerns you most about what we are dealing with as a nation in this time? That's a deep question, but it doesn't have to be so deep that you can't help us understand it. We're all thinking it every single day. We're all putting our fingers on something to get a clearer picture, but we know this thing that we are fixated on is really very important. And it is something that we have to come to grips with, we have to understand. As you assess the situation, what is that thing? How do you define it? What is the name of it? And what are we supposed to do once you figured out what it is? Then what's next? But let's start from the beginning. What is it? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I'd like us to, especially before this holiday season, we do not need to get overly distracted. We still have to mind our business. But we are encouraged, especially at a time like this, at this time of year, to deal with ethereal matters, goodwill to all men and women and children and dogs and cats. We we dispense with the reality that we know. And for whatever reason, we try to latch on to the Christmas spirit, whatever that is, the Christmas spirit, which invites you always to leave your reality and your condition and travel to Everland, where all is well and snow is falling and people with their mittens and their hats are having a great time. Well, as they say in Brooklyn, this ain't it. This ain't it. So if you can help us with this, you'll be giving us a portrait of what you are dealing with. When I say dealing with, I mean what's on your mind, what you're thinking, what is driving you at this moment in time. What do you see as a critical issue of the day, but not just as an ethereal subject, but as something you have to cope with and live through for the next few hours, and then it starts all over again tomorrow. What are those concerns that you have that you're dealing with and that we are dealing with collectively as a nation? 888-874-4888. Let's get off to a brisk start, shall we? 888-874-4888. What do you think this nation is dealing with? I mean, you haven't done interviews and done surveys, but you know. You can tell what's going on in people's minds. You can tell certainly what's going on in your own mind. And we can stretch it out to others and see what you have in common at this time. What is on your mind at this time as a person in this nation? What concerns you the most? And of course, you will venture to tell us why. 888-874-4888. Why do we ask these seemingly esoteric questions? Because we get closer and closer to the truth when we ask them of ourselves. The truth of our existence, the truth of what is happening to us individually and perhaps as a collective. We get a sense of how much a part are we of the whole. In other words, is what we're thinking what a lot of people are thinking? And what does that mean? How does that affect our lives every day? But certainly, it gets to be very personal because these are your thoughts. You're setting aside some time to give voice to those thoughts, and they're yours. And then we collect them, and we can see how they fit into this big jigsaw puzzle we call a nation, and we can take a larger view, but not before. Gwen from New York, you start us off today.
Hi, Trees. How are you?
Hi, Gwen.
Okay.
How are you?
Thanks. Well, I'm okay. You know, just, but you know, actually still having my nervous breakdown. I have one every 3 hours, as you just said. So, and it doesn't just happen, you know, it's like finally I get calmed down, and then my mother will call and she'll start off. So what she started off with yesterday is the new virus, the Omicron virus, and you know, she was beside herself with worry and fear. And the thing that I am the most terrified of in our nation is not so much the vaccine as I am the virus as the vaccine. I'm very nervous about the vaccine, but the motivating factors behind this program that we're on, and we are on some kind of systematic program here, and I'm worried about the amount of censorship as well as surveillance, and ultimately when we're going to really break down into two groups of people here that are, you know, the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers, and hoping that that does not become violent. But of course, that's here at home. My worrying mind goes outside of the United States because I see that it's a worldwide vision to see this happen. And because there is a lot of news about this, even though it's not covered on any of the major news stations or even radio stations, but there is an awful lot of news out there. And so it changes every day. And we hear more and more stunning and kind of terrifying behind the scenes motivations. So I'm very concerned about it because I believe that this is just going to keep bringing us to a new low place, low place. And I mean, it's already had an effect on people who have died, and then it's had the effect on the economy. I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to work again, because even if my job was able to take me back, which they're not. My job has cut like five people out and made one person run in a million directions to do five people's jobs. So, you know, it's been a real boom for employers. They've been able to get rid of a lot of people. But, you know, when I go around now to seek work, I have to tell people I'm not vaccinated, and I don't plan to be either. And that's not something that people want to hear. And so I think this is the most, I think that this is going to be the most traumatic thing that ever happened to this world. And I think that we're at the kind of the beginnings of it. And I think that there are a lot of people with very, dark hearts, that at the top have a lot of money, that want to have ultimate control over the entire planet. And, they think they have an agenda to thin out the amount of human beings that are living on the planet because of global warming. And it's kind of scary down here. I think the scariest thing is talking to people that I was friendly with in the progressive movement on the left. I've always considered myself very far to the left. I don't think I'm right at all. And yet I've been like kicked out of the program without even hearing what I have to say. And people don't even want to hear what I have to say. There's a program on Tuesday nights that I'm actually an invited guest to speak on. And it's very uncomfortable. I mean, everybody has, it's stunning for me to see the people on the left who call themselves, you know, the fighters and the pushback and we're going to be the revolution, how easily they all capitulated to something that somebody said to them. You know, our dear leader, Dr. Fauci, told them this is the way it is. So every single one of them fell in place and they just stuck their arm out. And they didn't even bother to check and see what is in that product you're putting in your arm and what can it do to you. So I think for me, this, and I guess a lot of people, I think that this, the disease and the vaccination are going to be pivotal to our futures. And it gives me anxiety through the day. And if it's not just giving me anxiety, then don't worry. My mom's going to call and she's going to give me the anxiety to help it along for a full nervous breakdown.
To make up for whatever anxieties you don't already have.
You have? Okay. Well, that's, unfortunately, that's not the way to deal with it, but they are good.
Well, thank you for getting us started today, but you planted quite a few seeds at the same time. So let's see what the reaction is out there. Thank you, Gwen, for your call. 888-874-4888. What do you see as the pressing issue of the day from your perspective, your specific perspective? Deborah from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, my lovely Miss Utrice and the PRN family.
Good afternoon, lovely Deborah. Thank you.
I am inspired by you again today. And what is the question of the day? What concerns you most about what's happening today in the world, in the nation? What's the critical issue? With this being December and Christmas being Saturday, I'm sure many people are stressed and scrambling around trying to figure out how to give gifts to their family. Not only that, the Omicron virus, which exists, or the variant, people are concerned. My heart is kind of racing, so I got to talk slow so that I can calm myself down. People are, you know, considering, should I travel? Should I get together with family? The news media is spreading the Omicron, which doesn't seem to be as infectious as the other one. But however, after the last 2 years of losing so many people, and we didn't lose everybody to COVID, they named different diseases and other things. They gave it the name COVID. And the other thing was they weren't using the proper test. They raised that PRN, that PR, whatever the test they were using. They used so many revolutions to make the number higher that you can't call a case really a COVID sickness if the person really isn't sick, but they're calling them all cases. So that all gave people an undue level of stress. And people now are trying to figure out how to buy these gifts. And we know people haven't worked for at least a good year. And some have, some haven't. And many people who are on the main line or the mainstream, they don't make even $15 an hour anyway. So people are really struggling. And now they're trying to conform to this social Christmas holiday and the new year. I have to say, 10 years ago, I even stopped celebrating Christmas. Because of the studies that I was studying through African history, I kind of just transformed my mind, and I stopped celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving because from history I realized, you know, the Native American or the indigenous community was sabotaged for Thanksgiving. And Christmas, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or whether you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I have been to Kemet, which is Egypt. And going to Egypt, I saw all the writing on the pyramid walls, and it, you know, everything comes from those walls. There's something called the Husia, which is the writings from the pyramid walls, and the data from the Bible comes from the Husia. So people have to awaken their minds. And all these traditions that we follow, sometimes you just have to let some things fall away. You have to let things fall away so that you can begin to transform your life, so that you can live differently. I'm not stressed running around trying to buy Christmas gifts because I don't celebrate. On the weekend, I had an open house because I sell cosmetics. I haven't worked in 2 years, so my main concern right now is that my cash flow is dribbling down. But I have invested in cryptocurrency, which is XRP and some other things, and I was able to draw off of some of those things that I've invested in. And as for Gwen, I want to say to Gwen and to other people like Gwen, I used to have a pastor who was from Nigeria, and he was actually, he says he was a witch doctor, and he could actually call upon certain spirits to, you know, bring about different events in people's lives. And the only reason why I say that is because he would always say to me or to his parishioners, you are blessed. You are blessed. And you have to think positive and only speak things that are positive. I'm never going to say that I'm having a nervous breakdown because I don't want to have one. And it says in the Bible to speak things that be not as if they were. So you don't speak about things you don't want. So your mother is not going to give you a nervous breakdown. All of your situations is not going to give you a breakdown unless you allow those things to overcome you. And I just listened to Gary Noel, and he was talking about, he had a 10-minute segment about the dark side. And we can either choose to be happy or to be depressed. And I know that sometimes it's medical and it's chemical and it's all those things, but we have to take control of our circumstances and let things go. I mean, if people have children and they're going to do Christmas and whatever, I mean, when we were younger, I was born in 1950. We didn't go out and get our Christmas tree until Christmas Eve because we could either get it free or we could get it reduced. So people have to stop trying to live to fulfill whatever need the Joneses, whatever they say that expression, you know, you the Joneses or whatever. You can't do what everybody does. And you just have to learn to break away from certain things. So that's my take on your questions. I think that, what else? Critical issues. I think those are some of the main issues right now. People traveling, trying to figure out what to do, what not to do. Am I going to get over Omicron? Am I going to get the Delta? Because the news is only building fear. It's just building fear up in people, and people are sucking up the fear, and they're being controlled by whatever the globalists want us to feel. And it's going to bring on some other bad things in the future, because I don't know what that Klaus Schwab is talking about in terms of the Great Reset, and I don't know what Bill Gates and all those other folks got planned. But people, brace yourself, because it can get worse, especially if the dollar collapses and whatever else may happen. But and the other thing was I heard was that please store up on some food and water, because there's a possibility where there's always talk about the grid going down. So people, please look forward into the future. We have a new year coming in, January 1st, and you're in control of where your life is going. So take control and be positive, and that's basically what I have to say.
All right. Well, I thank you. That's quite a lot.
Thank you so much,
Deborah, for your call today. Very encouraging.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
888-874-4888. In this moment that you've been experiencing, what do you see from your own assessment? You don't have to tell us what other people think, but you tell us what you're thinking. What do you see or what do you regard as the most important thing right now? And, of course, you give us an idea as to why. And I'm asking that you go there because eventually we have to go there. You know, today it might be conjecture. Tomorrow it becomes reality. And we have to, well, I wouldn't say we have to, but it would be a good idea if we get more and more used to sounding things out that we observe and we know intuitively, but we dare not get too close to that because we think it's just too overwhelming to deal with. And yet, that will become reality. And it will become a reality for which we are not prepared. So I'm asking us to kind of get in front of that a little bit and prepare yourself by calling it out, saying what it is you have noticed, what it is you have seen, what it is you think is happening or will happen in the not-too-distant future, so that you are relaxed in the sense that you were able to call it from your own observation you're able to tell because you're listening and you're talking to people, but you're also putting two and two together yourself. So you have a kind of head start. You kind of know intuitively where things are going to go, or more than likely will go. And so you're prepared or are preparing for what is ahead. It is always a kind of scary thing to do, but that's why, you know, we're born with certain faculties. And one of the faculties that we're born with is the ability to think and reason things through. We just don't give it enough time, or we just don't give it any time at all. We just wait to hear what the pundits of the day say. And yet we know intuitively what we were thinking that and what we don't want to happen, how we want to avoid certain things, but they happen anyway because we don't have enough faith in ourselves to say, I have a good brain, I have a good mind, I can put two and two together, and I'm going to start doing that routinely. I'm going to pay attention to my hunches. I'm going to pay attention to the things that I'm feeling or seeing. I'm going to analyze a little bit more. I mean, you don't want to become kind of weird about it. But look how often we have set aside what we are thinking, which is great thought. We don't give enough credit to ourselves that we can have insights based on what we observe, what we learn about the world we are living in. We don't give ourselves the credit to put things together and come up with a picture that will serve as a kind of guidepost as to how we continue to live our lives. So we are ahead of things, or certainly we are not going to be surprised by monumental things that are happening. 888-874-4888. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
Okay, it's going.
All right, same here. It's going over here. I want to, you know, before I get into something that is concerning, at least from my perspective, just indulge in a little story that was presented to me this morning, which I thought was real interesting. So there was a story out of India where I guess there was a group of monkeys were killing dogs, and they found out that the reason why the monkeys were killing dogs was because apparently a baby monkey was mauled by a bunch of dogs. So I guess this group of monkeys decided to take it out on whatever dogs came across their areas and basically kill them. Now, I present that because it's interesting. When I thought about it and I was, you know, listening and also reading about the story about how a bunch of primates would protect their children at any cost. So I thought about how we treat our children as humans, as people in this society. And it's very bad how we, you know, how we, you know, protect and cover our children, you know, from all types of danger. You know, we've got, you know, we've got missing children coming up. We've got children that are in abusive households. We send our children to, you know, these schools that, you know, basically abuse our children. And in a lot of cases, we as parents, you know, consciously or unconsciously abuse our children, you know, whether mentally, whether physically, whether emotionally. And it made me think about what type of world are we going to live our children, leave our children? And, you know, also, too, with our abuse of the environment, you know, when our children get older, what, you know, what type of world are they going to live in? Because obviously, you know, and you have callers, and I think about Harvey when I, you know, when talking about the environment, it's like, what type of environment are we going to leave our children when they get to adult age? And so think about that. I think about that a lot because of the fact that, you know, obviously I have children and, you know, I still have a daughter who, you know, has yet to, you know, reach adulthood yet. But, you know, I think about what she asked me the other day because, it, you know, it's real interesting what children ask you. And she asked me this question. She says, Dad, you know, how come you don't have your own business yet? And I was like, what prompted you to ask me that? You know, because she said, you know, Dad, you do a lot of things. You know a lot of things, but you don't seem to have your own business yet. You're still working for somebody. And I had to tell her, I said, yeah, that's true. But the thing is that there are some sacrifices that I have to do in order to get you onto a path that I think would lead you to a, you know, to a proper adulthood. And the one thing I wanted to emphasize with her was my sacrifice for her well-being. And hopefully when she gets older, you know, she would have more options than I have. And I think that emphasizes on the point that I'm making is that not enough of us parents, and not even parents, just people in general who are, you know, who are in charge of the world right now, how much do we sacrifice for the future generation? You know, I think a lot of us are still trying to live our lives, you know, and trying to garner a lot of, you know, a lot of resources, a lot of things, and not leaving nothing for our children, you know, or the future generations that are going to come behind us. And this is not just, you know, typical parenting, because if we're going to live as a community, we have to take care of the children, whether they're biologically ours or not. And I remember a friend told me one time, he said, and this is, you know, this is wisdom from people who, you know, who are from my age. He says, you know, because he has a son as well. And he understands that the dangers of his son living in Chicago, because, you know, Chicago is, you know, is a very, you know, there's a lot of issues in the city. But he also says this. He says, if I have to raise every child for my son to be safe, then that's what I'm going to do. And I take that stance as well. You know, if I have to raise every child to have my daughter and also my son to be safe, then so be it. So we have to, we also have to take that into account as well. If we're going to be a community, start with our children. Are we being good examples to our children? Are we leaving a world for them better than what we have now? Are we leaving good attitudes and good, you know, good thought process and just being humane to each other, to our children? So, you know, children react to the way that they're being raised. Why are children here, like, say, in Chicago and other places, carjacking and doing all kind of crazy things? Because, for one, we're not protecting them. And two, we're not, you know, as the adults in the room, we're not giving them the proper examples of being, you know, being humane. So, you know, I kind of cringe when people talk about how bad our children are, but yet we don't point the fingers to ourselves and say, who raised these children? We did it. So we got to be more conscious about how, you know, how we take care of this world, and who are we going to leave this world to?
Thank you, Bishop Henry.
for your sermon today. I mean, serious, well, serious. Really, very poignant. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Henry, really. A very interesting moment when I found myself, I'm still holding my pen because I was kind of mesmerized, saying, well, this is something I have to listen to very carefully because you are speaking the truth here and we need to hear it. Thank you very, very much for your contribution today.
Thank you.
William from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, William.
It's been a very interesting conversation, to say the least.
I think so, too.
Mercy. The question of what to do with the children?
No, the question is,
a friend of mine,
at this point in time, we're all kind of in a group heading toward the future. But what lessons have we learned or are we taking into the future that we think we have an answer for?
There was a man who did a lot of research on the subject named Harry Harlow. And he realize the issue is love, that what children need more than anything else is love and affection. It's a very interesting experiment he did with Reese's monkeys to indicate that what the monkeys preferred was love and affection even over food. But what I'm concerned about here tonight, today rather, is what's going on with us and our president. His pronunciation that we're all going to die is a great deal. It distresses me to no end that these folks can tell these lies without any response from strong points. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So what is it that you have come up with as a specific issue that emerges for you as a priority issue as we move ahead?
The number of people that had to choose between having their job and getting the vaccination. Many chose to get the vaccination. The exact number is hard for me to get a hold of, but if somebody's got it out there, I would appreciate it. We have to understand that these people are shedding. You have folks coming in from Mexico, from the border, the southern border, many of whom were not vaccinated and became vaccinated as a condition for being here in this country. So when we say the resurgence is actually the shedding of all the folks who have just recently been vaccinated. Not recently, but within the last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And this has been being interpreted as the new wave of virus, when in fact it's the effect of the shedding of all these folks who have been recently vaccinated. Like my grandmother used to say, folks will pee on you and tell you it's rain if you don't do something to stop them. And that's what we need to do something to stop them. So I'm looking for folks who are organizing and attempting to do something better. And for Christmas, I'm going to try to make sure that all the people in my family know that they are loved and that they belong to me and I belong to them. And this is the best we can do right away. I thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much for calling in and contributing. Thank you.
Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air. What would you identify as top priority items that we need to take care of and do something about?
Yes, I see it all the time. And the thing I'm talking about is that I see a ruling class that has driven many people to close-mindedness. I mean, people with all kinds of academic credentials, for example, and I can't believe that they would allow themselves to be driven to a state of closed-mindedness, and this is a serious problem. And the problem is not only with this so-called promotion of vaccines. It also comes about when we look at the economy and how the economy in this country, this capitalist imperialist economy, has driven many people into poverty, and essentially a handful of people who control most of the wealth in the country. So to me, I think it's the problem of the masses of people being in the position of having their minds taken over and directed in the direction that those at the top, in that fraction of a percent, want you to go because of their goal, which is only one thing, and is that is to make profit for themselves. So I find this very difficult, even in some members of my family who I paid for, gold-plated educations, have turned into people who have closed their mind and have decided to go along with those who rule the way they want you to go to make profit for themselves. So to me, that is essentially the main thing that is on my mind, and I see it all the time, and it comes on all kinds of ways they do it, and people don't get it. The people that I've met do not understand how information decides how many people think, from the print media and the electronic media, and the people in charge, those who followed Edward Bernays, the inventor of propaganda, have been so successful in closing millions of people's minds into the state where they are manipulated to do things that they shouldn't be doing, like being a party to imperialism all over the world.
Could you give an example of a project that would address this question and that would yield promising results?
I would say that a project that would do this is to take the censorship off of the internet, electronic media, and newspapers. Because one of the ways that the ruling elite, that fraction of the percent, have been able to do that, they impose censorship, and people do not understand that the important information that they need has been censored. People have no idea, and I have been on programs where when I started to talk about things that weren't approved, that I was censored. So the point is, if we could remove the censorship and get to a point where we had free speech, then some people might catch on be able to have other ways of thinking. But we are in a situation right today, and as I see it, that's where those who rule want us to be in, where things are censored and the propaganda is so powerful that masses of people that live here are under this propaganda and swallow it, and those at the top are able to achieve their goal, which is one goal worldwide, profit for themselves, and it's never enough. So if we could deal with that censorship, I think that would be extremely important.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for your contribution today. 888-874-4888. Now, I hope you're catching on to something here. You're thinking we're having a conversation. Yes, we do. We are having a conversation. But listen to what's coming in, and it is a range of perspectives and very enlightening. Although they are coming from individuals, they're giving us a sense of what people like them are experiencing as well. So don't sell yourself short. Nobody has a monopoly on good ideas or great observations. We all do. But we seldom articulate those ideas, and we don't have a place to put them together and make them work or explore them to see if they could work. And this is the beauty of community, actually. When you get people together as a community and thinking together as a community, you get things like this happening. You're not prepared. You're not anticipating anything except, you know, run-of-the-mill, whatever, and boom, something comes out of left field, and you wake up and you say, well, that was profound. Well, of course it's profound. They've been walking around with it for years and had no place to put it. So the first place to put it is to put it out there. Let other people hear it. Try it out on friends of yours or neighbors and say, you know, I've been thinking about such and such and such. What do you think about that? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what you'll get as a reaction. We have to get used to the idea of thinking and thinking out loud. Look how many things came out just in the callers that we've had today. Great ideas and observations and things that can be acted on. But I bet you if you were to ask them, the people offering these ideas, they don't think they did anything extraordinary. And yet it's extremely extraordinary. That is the value that we have been reluctant to place on what we think. It's very important to affirm your own values and your own thoughts, because actually they are a part of you. They represent a very special part of you. You've given something considerable thought and attention, and it's worth hearing, even if people disagree. You see, it doesn't bother me if people disagree. That's okay. I have experienced enough times people coming back to me and saying, you know, years ago you mentioned so-and-so. It happens to me a lot. I would talk about something and then move on to something else. And I will get a call or I'd meet somebody and they would remind me that something I said motivated them to explore the idea that I put forward a bit deeper. And it worked. And it's successful. So give yourself a little break. You have a good head on your shoulders. Continue to interpret your environment, what is happening. Put the pieces together yourself first. Don't wait for anybody to interpret your environment for you. You can do that. That's your job. But give it time and give it space. And for a lot of us, that is a very difficult thing to do because for all of our lives, our thoughts have never been validated. So therefore, we have never been validated as thinkers, as people who have something important to say or contribute. Our job is to shut up and take instruction from the smart people who know everything. No, you have a brain and it thinks. And so never deprive yourself of this exercise to test what you think. What are you thinking? Put it together in your own mind. And you would see that all of these la-di-da ideas that are rolling down the pike, you were ahead of them years ago. That's very important, to validate what you're thinking and validate what people close to you are thinking. It's very, very important. Well, I want to thank you. We're at the end of our program today. I want to thank you for the usual high quality of your contributions. And it inspires other people to think. And thinking is a very important part of our defense system, you know. People always want to know what we're thinking so they can get ahead of us. So don't, just think, but don't say it out loud. Keep thinking and keep validating your thoughts and your ideas. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. And let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.